Those powerful words from a proud people. Malcolm's legacy continues. In my 25 years of teaching, no matter what subject I taught, I always taught black. And I was very pleased to have, to be able to order material from the DuSable Museum. And I never met Dr. Margaret Burroughs, and she never met me. I'm glad this evening to meet her and to thank her for providing me with so many useful and important and Afrocentric types of material. Dr. Burroughs is the founder of the DuSable Museum, and she's the editor, along with Dudley Randall, of a collection of poems for Malcolm. That's one of her many books. So I personally had taken a great deal of pleasure in introducing Dr. Margaret Burroughs.
I would like to thank the Malcolm X Group for inviting me to be included among these distinguished scholars and to be a part of this very historic event, because I have a sense, a feeling that it's a very historical thing that is happening here tonight. The only reason why I'm here is because way back in 1967, I was attending a writers' conference at Fisk University, and Dudley Randall and I were sitting at breakfast, and we had read in the paper that a book of poems, a book of salutary poems, had been brought out about Kennedy. And so I said, "Dudley, why don't we bring out a book of poems about Malcolm?" And so before the conference ended, Dudley and I announced to the conference that we would be receiving poems for a book about Malcolm. The book came out in 1969, and Dudley should really be here because Dudley did all of the work. You know, he's a wonderful editor. He did the, edited Broadsides Press, and he really did all the work, collected the poems, wrote the autobiographies and everything like that, and I just got the idea. But sometimes the idea is very important. And so the book came out in 1969, and we dedicated it to Miss Betty Shabazz. And subsequently, I had an opportunity to meet Betty when we traveled to Africa together on one of the trips organized by Sierra Lincoln and Dr. Melvin Drimmer to Ghana. Wonderful experience. And many of the artists who included, the poets included here, well, there's, his name was Leroy Jones then. He's included Margaret Danner, Gwendolyn Brooks, Mari Evans is included, Ruby Dee and Ossie Davis, and many others, and Bob Hayden, and many others. And so I would just like to read to you the poem that I had in this book. And I called it originally Salute Brother Freedom, and then I changed the title to Malcolm One, because then subsequently I wrote for Malcolm Two, and then subsequently after that I wrote for Malcolm Three, and I'm going to just briefly read these for you. Lay him down gently, lay him down slow, and swathe him in linen and wrap him just so. Turn his young face toward Mecca's soft glow, our fallen warrior, our brother Freedom. I never met him personally, only saw him once or twice, but there was a thing about him that was sincere, decent, and nice, our brother Freedom. I, for one, did not agree with all the things he said, but I defend his right to speak out without paying the price he paid, our brother Freedom. They killed our brother Freedom, they sealed his flashing eyes, they hushed his clarion voice and smeared his soul with lies, our brother Freedom. Hired Judah's guns, snuffed out the promise, made prone and silent our brilliant young hope, and cut down for the moment our shining black manhood, yet did not touch Malcolm, our brother Freedom. Laid the restless body down, but could not kill the spirit of evangel, discerner, exhorter, and teacher. The seeker of truth will live on, brother Freedom. Immortal, he sits in fine company now with Louverture and Sinke, with Vesey and Turner and Prosser and Patrice Lumumba and Medgar Evers, our brother Freedom. Malcolm is dead. Long live Malcolm. His spirit is swirling around now in this vital air, spurring us all on who seek freedom, who salute freedom. And we salute Brother Freedom. That was written on the first anniversary of Malcolm's death. And then I had to write another one for Malcolm too. It is definitely plain to see that everybody around about here talking and rapping like Big Red and wearing these big naturals and great big tikis and these way out dashikis, none of them the man that Big Red was, because Big Red was not no sky high natural hairdo, all tiki dashiki phony type of a man. Big Red surely was a show enough man. And you know that all that glitters is not gold, and everybody talking about heaven ain't going there, and all the brothers and sisters too who throwing the word revolution all around the town. They ain't never cracked the book. They ain't never took a look to find out its meaning. Why, they don't know nothing about Big Red. They never ever will know Big Red. And judging from the way they act, ought not to be allowed to say his name, because Big Red was concerned not with what was on the head, but more with what was in the head, and not what covered the heart, but what was in the heart. And if Big Red was here today, he would surely say, study and learn, find out all about yourself and your folk and how your labor built wealth and ease, which you do not enjoy. Yes, Big Red would tell you, get smart, prepare yourself to play a part in changing this society. Big Red would tell all of us that being black and beautiful ain't enough. It may well be suitable, but it definitely do not put beans and rice into the pot, and it do not make no effective revolution, period. And then this last one, which was written in 1972, is for Malcolm, number three. They try to look like him. They try to talk like him. They try to walk like him. They speak of him as if he and they always were the best of friends, as if he had left a legacy alone to them. And to gain approval, they invoke his memory. They exhort his name to draw a crowd. They parrot the things he said and plagiarize his speeches. They wear garments similar to his. They assume his posture. They think they do, but they do not fool those who are aware of the ways of the hustler. We see through their masquerade. They cannot touch his little finger. They are not of the stuff of which he is made. They are not him and cannot be. They cannot hold a candle to him. They are usurpers. They are imposters. They are phonies. They are opportunists. They are pimps and prostitutes. And if he were alive today, yes, if he were alive, he would expose them for what they are, as the base betrayers of the black people.
All right. I trust you got the message. Now, Big Red said, study.